But hear this as if hearing it again for the first time. This is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Hear the word of the Lord. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At the church in Texas I attended as a member for several years, I got to know Andy. Andy would often be the reader, which means that at the right time during the worship service, this is what they did in that church, right before the pastor's sermon, he or one of the other elders, but he would go to the pulpit and read the Bible passage. Andy was pretty good at it, having no trouble with the strange names that would sometimes come up in the Bible readings. And it was clear that Andy enjoyed this bit of church participation and leadership, because as he introduced the scripture reading, he would sometimes say with enthusiasm, "This is one of my favorite passages." Actually, he would say that a lot. So often, in fact, we all soon began to realize that Andy's list of favorite Bible passages was almost as long as the Bible itself. Well, this part of the Gospel of John is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. Perhaps my list is a bit long too, although probably not as long as Andy's. Even so, this chapter from the Gospel of John has an important place on my list. It's one of those parts of the Bible that continues to delight and challenge me. And there's so much there to delight and to challenge. Things that make me think and wonder and wince. So much there that I will never reach the end of what this one chapter of the Bible can teach me. Yeah, there's a lot in there. So I want to focus on one thing, and for a little bit, talk just about that. That one thing, is found in the irony made clearer and clearer as this chapter goes along, with the blind made able to see, and the seeing shown to be, in a way, blind. That's the big contrast in this scene. The man who was blind ended up seeing far more than the people who had never been blind, who in the end showed themselves to be, spiritually speaking, lacking in sight. Jesus gave this man his sight. He previously could not see, not at all, never before. And then he could see. Jesus gave him the gift of physical sight. So astonishing was this gift that a good number of people didn't want to believe it. Maybe it wasn't him, was it? Maybe he hadn't really been blind, had he? Now here's something tough. His being able to see was great, but it was not entirely a happy thing, because with physical sight came insight. He could now see beauty and ugliness, joy and sorrow, not only the good in others, but also their shame, not only the surface faith, but also the unbelief lying just out of sight. The man could see because he had received the gift of sight from Jesus. The gift was not only physical, it was also, he soon came to understand, spiritual. The man was not only given sight, he was given insight. He was able to see what was around him, people, trees, buildings, distant hills, but he was also able to perceive their meaning, their relationships to him and to each other, the truths they inhabit and the falsehoods they may be hiding, desperately hiding, failing to hide. The man, I wish we had been given his name, knew it was Jesus who healed him. Jesus made mud, put it on the man's eyes, then told him what to do next, to go and wash, whether it was for his healing to be completed or for it to be known, I'm not entirely sure. Maybe a little bit of both. But the thing is, even though he knew it was Jesus who had healed him, he didn't know what Jesus looked like. Because when Jesus had put mud on his eyes and then told him to go and wash, the man couldn't yet see. So at that point, he had never actually seen Jesus. And then when he was first able to see, Jesus was somewhere else than where he was. And then, when Jesus and the man reunite, Jesus reveals himself to the man, tells him, "I am he," opens up his eyes yet again, gives him the eyes of faith, gives him not only sight, but insight, so that the man born blind would see and know Jesus as his sight giver, who brings light to what was dark, clarity to what was murky, depth to what was shallow, honesty to what was false, healing to what was wounded, and forgiveness to what had failed. Life, true life, life before God, is very much about seeing. I don't mean so much physical sight. Some people do not have that ability and will not. They were either born blind or became that way from accident or disease, and very few, it seems, more maybe with medical technology, recover, but that is their condition. Instead, I'm talking about perceiving. I'm talking about insight. I have in mind the ability to see as they really are, yourself, the world, and God, and to see the relationship and the distance of one to the other. When you first begin to have it, when you first receive Christ's gift of insight, such seeing is a bit disorienting. For we're not used to seeing things this way. That is, the way they really are. We're used to seeing ourselves in the best light possible. Or maybe, for some of us, in the worst light possible. Both of these are just different ways of putting ourselves in the spotlight. We cherish, even as we might pretend otherwise, we cherish the private conceit that the greatest story ever told is, without a doubt, the story of me. But when you have your eyes opened by the grace of Christ, your perception changes. All your traits are qualified and relativized. Now, you see God as holy. You see yourself as not so holy. You see God as strong. You see yourself as weak. You see God as forgiving and yourself as very much in need of forgiveness. You see God as God and yourself as decidedly not God. But not only that, you see all your traits lifted up and placed into a realm of blessing and joy you could never have found on your own. You begin to see your abilities as gifts from God. Your weaknesses, yes, your weaknesses, as opportunities for blessing and growth. Your strengths as both joys and temptations. You begin to see, as teacher and retreat director Suzanne Stabile might say, that the best part of you is often the worst part of you. And the worst part of you is sometimes the best part of you. And that God loves all of you. When you have your eyes opened by Jesus, everything else you begin to see is a kind of blindness. Everything else, every other way of seeing and perceiving is, apart from this one, little more than a walking around with your eyes shut tight. To know God truly is to see yourself for who you are, as rich and poor, as gifted and flawed, as saint and sinner, as arrived and on the way. Even when you come to that place where you really have progressed, where you truly feel for real the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, even then, or should I say especially then, you will see how dependent on Jesus you really are. But this is all much more than about your own inner life. It's more than what you feel and experience on the inside. It's more than what you see about yourself. For when Jesus gives you the gift, his gift, of your sight and your insight, you're able to see the pain that lies beneath another's smile. You're able to perceive the fear that whispers underneath another's bravado. You can see the cruelty that animates the pretend kindness. And you can see the warmth that hides behind the cold mask of self-protection. With the gift you've been given by Jesus, you yearn to make plain what is obscure and visible what is hidden. And with his help, you can. It's not easy. To have your sight restored by Jesus is to be set walking on a path that may be lonely, painful, even dangerous. Others convinced that they see just fine will not respond well to those who live with restored sight. To them, the spiritually sighted are a threat, because those who truly see are the walking, talking proof that those who claim to see are blind, and they can't stand it. But you do not walk that path alone. Jesus knows the way. He who gave you sight and insight sees all that lies behind and ahead, and he will guide you so that you may be with him as he brings light to what was dark, clarity to what was murky, depth to what was shallow, honesty to what was false, healing to what was wounded, and forgiveness to what had failed. All for his glory, for him who gives us his gift of sight and insight, Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with the Father and the Holy Spirit be honor and praise forever and ever. Amen. Please pray with me. Loving God, help us to see ourselves, the good and the bad and the ugly. Help us to see where we have arrived and where we have yet to go. Help us to see others as they really are. Help us to see with compassion and love and to share with them in your gift of giving sight. Amen and amen.